Micah chapter 6, please. Micah chapter 6. These are commonly known as the minor prophets. And incidentally, the minor prophets are a major problem to locate. Micah chapter 6. As we are embarking on this month that we call the month of love because of St. Valentine's Day, has a fascinating story behind his life and such. But because of that, we emphasize this or see it as the month of love. And so we want to talk about something similar along that vein. And so because we are still fresh in the 2021 year, it is important for us that whatever we set out to do, whatever we felt word or such the Lord gave us for this particular year, for us to focus on within ourselves, for us to pursue within ourselves, I want to encourage us, listen, to not give up on your purpose and not give up on the direction that the Lord has pointed you to for this particular year. But I want to add something, want to put something on your radar screen that is worth pursuing. Okay, and the Lord himself says as much. It's amazing, church family, that the Lord does not demand a lot from us. That would have been a great time to have said amen. Do you realize how many moral laws were under the old covenant? 613. 613 moral laws. Who can keep 613 laws? I can't. I mean, shoot. I can't keep some of the traffic laws either, but we can edit that. We can edit that out. Those of you who drive as fast as I do, you will refrain from saying amen. Otherwise, this message will hit you between the eyes. Anyway, so, you know, the Lord does not require a lot of us. He does require certain things of us. And so it is important that we gain focus as to what the Lord wants from us. So let's look at Micah chapter 6, please. Micah chapter 6. We're going to begin reading with verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord? This is like a rhetorical question that Micah the prophet is posing as if Israel was asking the Lord. And bow myself before the high God. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Notice verse 8. The Lord answers all of these questions. He has shown you, O man, what is good. Let's all say good. And what does the Lord require of you? Notice three things. But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's pretty plain, church family. I mean, I love a God who can summarize all that he expects of me, all that he expects of you, all that he expects of all believers into three simple commands. Do what's right. That's what do justly means. Understand right and wrong. Okay? Understand what is right and wrong with the context of this phrase, do justly means with reference to your fellow neighbor. Treat your fellow neighbor with respect. Treat your fellow neighbor with honor. Treat your fellow neighbor with dignity. You know, I remember once doing a funeral, and I was talking about this sweet lady that had passed on, and she was small and she was short, and her parents were from Russia, and she had a lot of spark in her. She was a petite little thing, and she the family, when we met to talk about the funeral service, they told me that that she was such a fire spark plug that there was, she was living next to a neighbor whose dog was always barking. Well, she would go out and take her water hose and hose him down many times over. And one time the owner came and yelled at her. Well, not only did the dog get the hose, the neighbor got the hose as well. She was just that kind of person. As I was talking about this, that just came to mind. But we are to do right by our fellow neighbor, right? Now, can we fast forward to the New Testament? Did Jesus say, just love those who love you? Love your enemy. Do good to those who do only do good to you. Is that what Jesus said? He said, if you do that, you're no better than the pagans. They do that. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Ooh, that's who's ever been used by somebody before? And you didn't realize, well, let me just speak for myself. I didn't realize I was being used until I was left holding the empty bag. And I was like, and you know, like in the old time Looney Tune cartoons, when somebody feels like they're really dumb, that somebody did them wrong, they didn't realize it till it was too late, then they develop a donkey head and they go, that's the way I feel. Like I've got this donkey head that goes, only at Locust Grove you get these wonderful, right, Miss Lisa? Yeah, that's the way I felt. So notice, do good by your neighbor. Do understand what is right and wrong with reference to treating your neighbor right. That's not hard. If we see someone in need, and we have within our means to be able to help them, the Bible says it is a sin before the Lord for us to neglect the help. You know, just the other day I was driving from Starbucks toward 121, and there was this guy on the side of the road. I didn't have money with me. I sincerely didn't have money. He flags me down, African-American gentleman. I rolled down my window, and he says, you're a preacher, aren't you? I've never seen him before in my life. And I said, yeah. And he said, sir, I'm in need. Can you help me? I broke down. I'm from Danville. I need a little bit of money. I said, sir, I don't have anything. I wish I did. I don't have cash with me. I wish I did. And he said, well, do you have any pocket change? Well, I forgot I had some nickels and dimes. True story. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't. I drove off and I thought, I bet that guy was an angel. Doesn't the Bible say that we will entertain angels unaware? How would he know that, you know, I know I'm notorious in some circles. Moving right along. It doesn't stop with that, church family. It goes on from do right by your neighbor, do right by the person, the other person, right? Isn't that part of the second commandment, of the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second one is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's not where this stops. It goes on to talk about, what's the next one? This is a new series we're starting that I'm entitling Love, Mercy. What is the second commandment of the three that the Lord requires from us? In Micah 6:8, it says, to love mercy. Okay, we're going to spend a little time on this one. Well, next several weeks. Love mercy. Love mercy. Now, the word love means just to simply embrace, to invest in, to be, make it a part of your own. But the word love, listen carefully, or the word mercy rather, is the most powerful Hebrew word for love in the Old Testament. It is the Hebrew word hesed. Hesed. It is the equivalent to the Greek language's agape. It is the God kind of love. Okay? But what this verse says, if you were to read this in the Hebrew, this is what this verse says. Have a covenant loyalty to mercy. have a covenant loyalty to mercy. Now, who understands covenants here? I would say that most of us probably don't, because we're conditioned by, I'm even hesitant to say the next best thing that we have in the United States, and that is contracts. But how many of y'all know that if you get a good enough attorney, you can weasel your way out of a contract? There are loopholes, right, church family? You get a good enough attorney and you can back out of most any contract. In covenant, there was no backing out. You know, covenants were used mostly, some missionaries to Africa will tell you that Aborigines tribes, that they practice covenants even to this day. Now, these covenants are blood covenants. It's a blood covenant. When they, when two tribes come together, they would cut part of their wrist in the right direction, and they would put their hands together and let their blood mingle, basically saying, I'm entering a covenant with you. And this is an unbreakable, it is an unshakable agreement between the two of us. I cannot get out. It's like the gangs today. Blood in, blood out. There's no saying, sorry guys, I'm done with the gang. No, you're going out with a bullet between in your brain or in your heart, right? It's blood in. You can't get out of it. You cannot weasel your way out of a covenant. It is a sacred agreement. Once again, we don't fully understand that that covenants are that binding, but they are, because we're conditioned in a different reality. Now, let me say, always covenants were always made from the greater party to the lesser party, never from the lesser party to the greater party. If you look at your Bibles, there's never one time when a human being decided to make a covenant with God. God always initiated covenant with people. The greater to the lesser, never the lesser to the greater. This interesting, church family?
Yes,
so let's say there was a powerful tribe in Africa, and the son of the head tribesman had a liking for the daughter of the weaker tribe's head tribesman. So the son went to his father, said, Father, I like that girl. We should make some treaty with them. And so the father of the more powerful tribe would go to talk to the father of the weaker tribe and said, look, if your daughter is willing to marry my son, we, the more powerful tribe, will provide you protection. We will provide you our resources. We will always be with you. We will always have your back. Well, that weaker tribe is going to say, yes. That little bit of understanding of covenant, church family, what does it mean to have a covenantal loyalty to mercy? What does it mean? Do I just show mercy when I'm in the mood of showing mercy? 24/7. Do I just show mercy when they've been pretty good with me and they just made one mistake and I'm like, you know what? They've been pretty good people with me. They deserve a break. I think I'll show them mercy. Is that when I show them mercy? Can I make a statement? Nobody get mad at me, because I think we're all guilty of it. Definitely I'm guilty of it. But as sure as I'm guilty of it, every single one of us in here, every single believer in the body of Christ has been guilty of it. The times that we need to show mercy the most historically have been the times that we as God's people have shown mercy the least.
Amen.
You know, we are moody people. We don't have a covenant loyalty to mercy. I'm speaking to myself. Okay, everybody, I'm speaking to myself as much as I am to everybody else. Yoo-hoo. Normally, when we need to show mercy is when someone hurts us deeply. We just talked about, we referenced that scripture in Matthew 5, where Jesus said, pray for those who despitefully use you. Whew, that's tough. But did Jesus say, did I stumble? Did I stumble on my words? Do you need it broken down any further? You know, come on, church family. Incidentally, a working definition of mercy is love that responds to human need in an unexpected and unmerited way. Unmerited means they don't deserve your mercy. But mercy is shown them nonetheless. That's what the Lord says that to love mercy is. How many of y'all learned something new today? We're not done yet, people. Don't get your hopes up. Oh, wow, that was a great message. Let's go out and ice skate or cross-country ski here. No, listen. It's to love mercy, have covenant loyalty. Okay, so can I ask, let's just lay aside, I'm not trying to take away from the Word of God, let's just lay aside the word covenant, let's just look at the word loyalty. Are we loyal to each other with mercy? I mean, the Lord gave us three simple commands. Do what's right with others. Love mercy and humble yourself before your God. And we fail. I mean, I think for the most part, Christians do pretty good with the first one. But we fail miserably with the second one. Are we loyal to others? You know, I admittedly... I think I've told you before, but I'll say it again on a Sunday morning, that I have a tendency to be patient with people and patient with people and patient. But I get to a point when I just, it's like a switch flips inside of me and I'll be done with you on a dime. Like, that's it. How can you cut people out of your life so easily? Well, I said, because I had been patient, 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 patient. But then I reached a point that said, deuces, I don't need you in my life. Bye. And I'll tell you, there for a season, what that created in me, that created a lot of loneliness because I didn't keep any friends. How many of us know that some friendships are worth keeping for life? We need to show mercy. Now, not every person that does you wrong is healthy for you, and there is need for boundaries in our lives, right? Amen. The Lord doesn't call us to just stand in the way and keep standing there and getting hit on and getting plowed by the fists of another person, the emotional fists of another person. He doesn't call us to be someone's little whipping boy or girl. Can I get a witness, please? Amen. He's given us brains. But what that means, church family, and we're going to break it down further next week, but I want to just kind of whet our appetite. What that means is, do we have patience with another believer? You know, my lady, she's new in the faith, and she has a fire for the Lord, don't you, Ben? She has a hunger for God's Word. And she even told me when we first met, I was praying that God give me portable pastor. You got to watch what you pray for, people, because he might just get you one crazy portable pastor. But in her zeal for the Lord, she wants me to listen to all of these messages. You know, she's doing good now because she'll send me a link to a 20-minute message. When she started, I kid you not, a 9-hour, this is no exaggeration, 9-hour link. And she's like, oh, you don't have to listen to this in one setting. I'm like, I'm not going to listen to it at all. She said, you can listen here a little. Well, in that case, I've got to show mercy because She's new. Everything is there's a pure, there's a purity. Listen, church family, may we never lose this as believers. There's a pure zeal in that woman. And I pray that we never lose the pure zeal, that we don't ever get jaded with the things of God.
Amen.
John 3:16 still should still move us immensely. Back to mercy. Back to this. Do we have loyalty? Listen, can I just break it down a little further, church family? Because the Bible is not silent on these things. What about when a believer falls? I get a heavy heart anytime I broach this because it's awful. Christians are the only ones, Christianity is the only army that shoots its own wounded. And do you think it gives the Lord great delight when another believer says, well, you shot yourself with your own gun in the foot, give me that gun, I'm going to do away with you, pow. And we kick them out of the church, and we kick them out of church life, and we say, deuces, we're done with you, we're going to wash our hands from you. Get away from us. Do you think that glorifies the Lord? You know what? That gives the body of Christ, that gives Jesus Christ a black eye. Now, I remember when I was young, many years ago, I know I still look young. Many years ago, I was listening to kind of a little documentary of B.J. Thomas. Who remembers B.J. Thomas?
Yeah.
Do you realize he's a believer and he wrote some beautiful spiritual songs? But he had a problem with alcohol. He struggled with alcohol. And when that became public news, this was back in the early 80s when I heard this, that he had taken a stage. He was doing a Christian concert. And he began to sing, and all the crowd, the Christian crowd in that venue, booed him off stage. Booed him off stage. Do you think that brings delight to the heart of God? Where's the mercy? Where's loyalty to mercy? Where's covenant loyalty to mercy? He went on to write, B.J. Thomas went on to write a song that basically said, pray for me. I'm not everything that I'd like to be, so just pray for me. Is that asking too much, church family? You know, we call ourselves brothers and sisters, but we treat each other like hateful cousins. Where is the love? Where is mercy? When people need it the most, that's sometimes when we show it the least. You know, we've seen a lot of public failings, moral failings. The lead pastor of Hillsong New York, Carl Lentz, powerful speaker. But he was having an extramarital affair, and it came to light, and I think the church gave him a severance pay. They treated him okay. They try to keep. Listen to what they did. That church tried to keep everything kind of on the down low, because how many of y'all know that's nobody's business?
Amen.
Because he's going to go to a house with a very deeply hurt wife and crushed children. So why should we take the details and just smear them or talk about them when somebody's hurting or crying their eyes out in his household because daddy was not loving God in a certain way? Is the Lord done with him? How many of y'all believe the Lord is not done with him?
That's right.
What if the Lord was done with us the first time we had our first real big oops? How many would there be here today? Just me. No, I'm just teasing. Just teasing. No, I wouldn't be here. Trust me, I would. I'm by the grace of God, I'm here.
Amen.
Thank you. And by the grace of God, you're here.
Amen.
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 I love it in my 30 years of ministry. when people took exception to something I did, and they said, Pastor Joe, you don't deserve to be a pastor. And I turned it around on them and I said, church member so-and-so, you don't deserve to be a church member. Yeah. Am I right?
You're right.
Yo, baby, it goes both ways.
Yep.
I don't deserve to be a pastor. Listen, I did not decide to be a pastor. I did not choose to be a pastor. I didn't accept a calling or I didn't pursue a calling. It was chosen for me to be a pastor. And trust me, while I was still a real rebellious young Catholic boy, I ran from that calling. I knew I was called to be a pastor way before I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And that calling scared me to pieces. Because I said, well, I won't be able to have a wife. So I ran like Jonah in the other direction, where the potential wives were. Church family, it's mercy. We should have a heart, a tender heart of Jesus that breaks, that weeps when his own people fail, when his own people are hurting so bad because of the act of another person. We need to learn to love mercy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment, Lord. Father, I feel such a weight on my soul now. I see the need, Lord. I failed many times with that second commandment of loving mercy. I would venture to say we all have, Lord. Father, grant us focus. Help us, Lord, to show mercy when mercy is needed the most. Help us to avoid knee-jerk reactions, Lord. Help us to love people the way you, Lord God, love them, to show mercy to those to whom mercy needs to be shown. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.